This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville, FUBAR Radio.
To get that right down, and I ain't waiting for no money, I need mine now. We hitting lips if they don't wanna bring that price down. Because I need that foreign on my neck, I stop. For them times and them cells and them cold nights. Days on that block, posting up like a low life. Trying to get that fast money in off a slow life. Niggas want me dead and I was ripping it so tight. Big weapon, had them fuck niggas telling. My nigga run my nigga, then my nigga split his melon. That shit was fucked up, I just took it as a lesson. In that field, looking for love, I wasn't getting. I rap that real shit because my pain is the essence. My niggas got smoked, I mixed the haze with the lemon. I let it burn, and niggas left me in that dirt. Now it's my turn, they gon' feel every verse. They told me to revive, but I got on my grind and put down my pen, then I picked up my pipe. And I wasn't right until I got them knives. What you want me to rhyme, my nigga? This my life, and I couldn't think twice. Hunger wasn't nice, came with a price. Streets have me blind, niggas fucked up my mind. Can't get back the time, but fuck it, I'll be fine. I bet my love five on it, yeah. Somehow, some way, we gon' all make it out the end someday. If it ain't knife work, they coming with gunplay. And it's fuck, how these niggas ain't holding that gun straight. Might catch one straight, gotta get low. Hit us with parole, make it hard to get home. Faith in my palm, I won't ever let go. Niggas hating, so we flame them if they ever get close. And I don't trust a soul, but them poles never snake me. Yeah, I live that grind daily, I was dying in that jam. Ain't nobody come save me, ain't fold, ain't bed. How the fuck they gon' break me? I'ma live with them traces that I chose, nigga. I'ma get that work in and get it sold, nigga. I learned shit from watching all them fucking old niggas. How you blame us? We just did what we was told, nigga. Word, they told me to revive, but I got on my grind and put down my pen, then I picked up my pipe. But I wasn't right until I got them knives. What you want me to ride, my nigga? This is my life and I couldn't think twice. Hunger wasn't nice, came with a price. Streets have me blind, niggas fucked up my mind. Can't get back the time, but fuck it, I'll be fine. I bet my love five on it, yo. Niggas hitting niggas with that cartridge. Jake hit my niggas with them charges. And them drugs, they ain't giving niggas chances. I studied business, hit them things with them bargains. Them D's came through my yard without auction. My nigga caught a headshot, turned me heartless. Raised by the streets, cause we barely know our fathers. Got me on my knees, prostrating on that carpet. And I don't wanna get got. I go to war like I won't get shot. From the second that you step on the block, it's a blessing in itself if you ever get up. Not for real, nigga. Shit, truth's real. We had no chase, you feel me? Life we live, you know? Heck numb. They told me to revive, but I got on my grind and put down my pen, then I picked up my pipe. But I wasn't right until I got them knives. What you want me to ride, my nigga? This is my life and I couldn't think twice. Hunger wasn't nice, came with a price. Streets have me blind, niggas fucked up my mind. Can't get back the time, but fuck it, I'll be fine. I bet my love five on it, yeah.
That's Five On It by Tiny Boost, kicking off the show with that one. He's a past guest of ours. He came through, chatted to us about, what, 3 weeks ago? No,
before Christmas.
Yeah, way before Christmas. What am I talking about 3 weeks ago?
I don't know.
That, like, January itself has been like 9 weeks long. Yes. So where am I going 3 weeks ago? These times it was before 2019. Shout out to Big Zoo. Shout out to the sample as well. Shout out to Tiny Boost. Oh, I got to get to that bit later. Forget I said that. Shout out to Tiny Boost. Big up the sample, the Five On It sample. Obviously, if you recognise it, it's from the Loonies track of the same name, which Jordan Peele has recently kind of flipped and made into the sort of bed of the score for his upcoming film. What's it called? Is it called Us?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called Us. Mm. And they say it's a, I don't know if it's a prequel or a sort of sequel to Get Out or something like that, or it's in the same universe. But it looks really interesting, but it looks a bit too scary for me. I smoke too much weed to be watching horror films and getting paranoid. I think everyone horrors. Knows that. I've seen maybe two horrors in my whole life.
What are they?
One was The Exorcist when I was young, Christ. Didn't watch the rest of it. I think I've kind of pushed it to the back of my memory as well. And the other was Bird Box quite recently, which you could probably class as a horror film.
It's not really scary.
No? Well, it's scary. The concept is scary, you know? Like, seeing something that would make you want to, not even want to, have to top yourself. That shit's scary.
Yeah.
You know, and they kind of left a lot to the imagination, I think. They didn't show you the monster, you know? They just showed, they let your imagination run amok and, you know, you think of your worst fear, basically, innit? Because that's what it is, innit? It's your worst, you're seeing your, is it your worst fear or something like that?
Yeah. I know one of your worst fears, and it's happening right now. The aircon isn't on.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that would be...
Michael Payne is turning the aircon on. Let's welcome our special guest, a very special guest of ours today, Big Zoo.
Hello,
everyone.
You've been very busy since the last time we spoke. You came on as a guest.
Yeah, as a guest. Now I'm co-hosted, man. Get me leveled up.
But you've been a host of in your own right for a while now, man. You've stepped up. You've leveled up from like just an MC to a personality, you know?
Yeah, things have been jokes, man. I've been doing a lot of stuff. Like, I was doing a lot of content when I was like coming up, and obviously had a radio show, and then now, like, obviously man's on the national radio thing, and it's mad.
You can talk about that as well. I'm allowed to say one extra station. They're no competition for us here at FUBAR. So you can say the name.
Yeah, bro, it's mad that being at One Extra now. Obviously, I started my residency show, which is mainly like grime, just playing grime music. But then I've started covering like daytime, and I've been able to bring that grime element to the daytime. So now I'm playing my brother's music to different kind of like people, and it's sick, bro, because it's like at the same time they're getting paid as well. So it's mad.
It must feel amazing.
It's mad because I did the joint show on Radar for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And then obviously what happened with them, and then like One Extra just hit me up, and obviously a lot of people say you can't be both, you can't be a DJ and MC. It's just one of, for me, it's
that's
not
silly.
I don't see myself like a like proper DJ. I just see myself as someone that can play music for
an
people,
an entertaining person that people want to listen to, and people can, you know, that this is a term that gets sort of bandied around right now at the moment that I hate, is influencer. Because it kind
social
of
social influencer.
Yeah, because it takes away from the people that really do wield influence.
Yeah,
you know,
100%.
People like you that people want to listen to.
Thank you, bro.
And hear, you know, new music. You're at the epicenter of grime right now. You're one of the names that kind of was in the pot when grime really had its kind of resurgence among the younger generation. So who better than you to be an ambassador and bring it to the masses?
That's the whole point, man.
I suppose, yeah, people don't understand. Some people don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, I can't watch it too tough because it's one of them ones where a lot of people are happy for me and a lot of people are enjoying it. And like, I'm connecting with different people. Like, when you see the demographic who listen to like that daytime radio, people when they're just at home, or people maybe driving a lorry or something like that, and they never heard these kind of songs before, because it's so open, because they're so used to listening to that station, they hear that song and they're like, yes, okay, this is something new. Like, I played something by Trey Mission from Canada, makes grime. I played one of his songs, and then I went back there like the next week. I was covering another show, and I see the song in the playlist. I was like, rah.
Nice.
So you don't like that one?
Of course.
And I think it's more about that getting in there, because I feel like a lot of people in music have this like mad like conception that radio is all about, like, your song has to bang and it has to be radio ready, and sometimes it's not about that. Sometimes it's just about knowing the right person to get your song in there, and that's what it's about, man.
Absolutely. And your vibe attracts a tribe. Like, people think that people want, when they put out music, they want the whole world to love them.
Yeah, of
and
course.
That's the biggest mistake that people make, I think. No, it's true. I think you should just want like-minded people to like you.
Yeah, care
because
about your
then
pocket, man.
Yeah, and it gets less complicated when if you get, like, you know, you drop a song that you do, doesn't really mean that much to you, but bangs, right? And it's super successful. People will always expect you to be on that platform, that level all the time. As soon as you try and say, oh, do you know, I do kind of think politically as well. Yeah. You know, I don't just think about, you know, like, I don't know, twerking
gas,
and trapping
it?
Or whatever. Yeah, just gas, yeah. I don't just think about that. I think about actual important things. Then people will kind of get offended and be like, what happened to the person that had that song? You know?
I feel like it's about how you pigeonhole yourself, man.
Yeah.
With me, with music, I've never like put myself into a certain category. I've always been a grime MC, but none of my music has ever like strayed to like a beat structure that's going on in music.
Yeah.
So I've never like made like a super hit. Like I made Fall Off with Jay and Me, and that song's big now, but
yeah,
that's not my biggest song. I got other songs that have done bare things for me. Yeah. So it's one of them ones where I don't have that pressure.
Song? Is that more of a trophy song for you?
That one's
because
sick.
It's got JME
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, because it got JME on it, it was definitely a matting. But one thing that was interesting as well is that the guy that made it is called 169,
mm-hmm,
and he makes all the Dave stuff.
Right.
And while Arting was coming out, I think Funky Friday was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was before that or after that, and around them times. And it's like, this guy had a song that was doing big bits in the grime scene, mm, and big bits in the rap scene.
Yeah.
And he's just a young guy that's killing it with Fraser T. Smith. And it was proper like sick to see him as a producer to be like, have that control.
Yeah.
To be so sick at both.
Yeah, straddling and, like that.
Yeah.
Straddling them.
And then for me, it was just like, for me, the song was fun. You know what I'm saying? Doing it with JME was sick, but
the video is amazing.
Well. Imagine. Yeah, the video was, I wanted to make a statement with the video. I wanted the video to be one of the things that people see. Rah, this bear has nothing going on in the video that we'll see in a typical video from the Mandem, yeah? There's no gal, there's no like Mad Villa, and I don't get to say that. Big up the man that do that.
Yeah, of course. Horses for courses, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but my thing wasn't any of that. It was just about having I'm doing the Kamehameha like a Dragon Ball Z character. Do you know what I'm saying? And some people may say, oh, you're just immature, whatever. But I feel like it's about art and expressing the art. And when you do that, it takes it to different places.
I think expression is the operative word there.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, I feel, you know, like you said, shout out to all the men that do villa shoots and all that.
Yeah, bad guy.
But
enjoy.
Is that really you, or is that what you think people want you
perception,
to be
man?
Like?
Image.
Yeah. And expression is the most important thing. Express you. Don't express what you feel you ought to be expressing.
Yeah.
Really express what.
Yeah, of course, bro. I think it's hard. I think like nowadays people want things from stuff, innit? And when you want something from it, you have to control how you pull it out.
Yes,
so
it's true.
If you think so hard about, I want my image to look like this, I want my music to sound like this, I want people like this to follow me, you're gonna give that certain like vibe. Whereas if you're not conscious of that, you just make what you care about.
Yeah.
But nowadays you're so conscious about who follows us, how much numbers we get, what we're wearing, what we're sponsored by, all of this stuff. People just like want to put themselves in that bracket.
Yeah.
So instead of being real and being themselves, they align themselves with a certain image to get to a certain place. You know what I'm trying to say? It's like designer, man. Like, not everyone really wants to wear designer. Don't get it twisted. I'm sure there's a lot of the people, the young MCs and young like guys that make it in the music who wear mad designer because they come from nothing.
Yeah.
Now I got money, I want to wear nice clothes.
It's a statement.
But at the same time, is it worth it, bro? Mm. Is it really worth it? Man are wearing a grand jacket for one shoot. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely.
Don't get twisted. And then what are you doing? Are you really wearing that in your house? Are you really wearing that every day?
Like, are you eating? Do you have food in your fridge as a result? Is that jacket in your fridge?
Boy, I just think what the image that it gives to young people is I need to dress like that as well. And it's not black and white like that. Don't get twisted.
True.
We all make our own decisions. But there are people that are very easily influenced by their favourite rapper. And if I'm seeing my man in Balenciaga good drip,
yeah,
you know, I make £1,200 a month. I'm gonna go spend a grand on something.
Yeah,
and that month I'm gonna grind off £200 for what?
It's true. You got to divide that by four. Nah, £50 a week. All right, cool.
For what though?
I'm not gonna quit smoking this month.
Fam. I'm seeing man in trainers and t-shirts and jeans and jumpers and jackets that I know that are very expensive.
Absolutely.
So unless you're doing some fraudulent business.
Mm. Have you seen those pages?
What pages?
That break down rappers' outfits.
Oh, yeah. What your favourite rapper
they
wore?
They are so funny.
I've
and
never
the prices,
been on it.
I go on them sometimes just to laugh. Like, it's so funny.
It's emotional.
They'll have like a rap. It is quite emotional.
It's emotional.
Isn't it?
You
it's
see mad. That one outfit is £3,000.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not trying to go off on one man and think, oh, Zoo got no drip. Don't worry.
Mm.
I do my thing. I got clothes, you get me, but I'm not one of them people. Like, I'm lucky enough through music I get given clothes. You know, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But a lot of these men,
I'm content.
Come on, G. But bro, a lot of these men, like, you see that breakdown and it's like, bro, £3. Say nothing, G.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you can only wear that once.
Yeah, now that it's on the gram, especially. Now that it's on the gram, especially.
You might remix it one day next year or something, but apart from that, because...
Speaking of which, like, have you heard recently, I saw this on my friend Aloni's Twitter, that
Aloni,
ASOS...
She's so funny.
But one of the recent tweets she quote-tweeted was that ASOS are apparently going to start checking people's Instagrams when they do returns to see that you haven't worn it and stuff and just want to send it back. Yeah. And then she was just like, well, you've kind of snitched on yourself now, because because all we're going to do is
it's not post the
not post it straight away. Wait till the money's in our account, and then
that is jokes. That is very hilarious. That's a whole new angle.
Honestly, social media they're is gonna really, check their really teams. Changing consumerism of in course. Such a drastic
Hashtag's
way.
Done out here.
It's true.
Hashtag's, bro, I'm from West, yeah? And I grew up on High Road, yeah? Just off High Road. And we used to always go Bayswater, yeah? Queensway.
Oh,
and
my
we'd go to
God.
A place called Whiteley's.
Yeah, of course. Yeah? Whiteley's. Upstairs. The American shop that you could get Jordan.
Oh, they had. But you know what you say? You know, old school like that. Come That's on. Old school. That shop was in there. They used to have like a clothes shop there that sold like mad different kind of like American clothes. That's old school. But the whole, like Whiteley's, here's an interesting fact here. When Hitler was bombing London.
This is going to be interesting. Yeah, I can tell.
When
Hitler, speaking of Whiteley's, here's a story
so
about
this
Hitler.
Is, this is connected to Whiteley's, yeah?
Yeah.
Hitler, when he was bombing London, he said, I'm not going to bomb that specific area of West London because if I take over England, Whiteley's will be my headquarters.
Wow.
He said it. Like, it's a fact. Like, he said that. Like, Whiteley's, he said, if he took over England, Whiteley's would be his headquarters. So the whole of that area of West London, which is Bayswater, which is right around Notting Hill, Lancaster Gate, like, it's right in front of, like, Hyde Park and stuff.
Yeah.
He didn't bomb that area.
I reckon he was a closet, like he was a closet multiculturalist, and he knew there was going to be a thriving street party around there in the future, and he was like, "Don't bomb that place."
He's
thinking about carnival before carnival even existed.
He wasn't even
thinking
about that nice extravagant architecture of Whiteley's. He's just caring about carnival.
Carney. Please don't try and say Hitler invented the carnival.
No, he didn't. We can't give.
But the whole point, bomb Hitler. The whole point, yeah.
Yeah, fuck Hitler.
The whole point was the whole point that I was trying to make is that. Now that's turning into houses.
Yeah.
Like, that used to be a big shopping centre. Mm. This is before Westfield was in Shepherd's Bush.
Yeah.
Like, and that's becoming houses
that
now.
That was the spot, mate.
Bro,
honestly.
When I was at you, I used to go there. That was the flex. Go Whiteley's.
That was the first place
Little
I saw.
Little cinema upstairs.
Yes, I was just about to say, I saw Beavis and Butthead do America in that cinema. That was the first film that I went to see on my own without my Sir parents
Dan.
Or school. Yeah, went to see Beavis and Butthead do America in Whiteley's.
Yeah, that's it. And that's classic because I think that's one of the first places I went to cinema on my own with my friends as well.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of vibe. I feel like that kind of like whole high street thing's gone, man. Whiteley's used to be packed, and now you got Westfield in East, you got Westfield in West. And
yeah,
it's
this
like,
is true.
I mean, nowadays everything's online. You know what I'm saying? The shop thing's done, man.
Mm, it's
done,
true,
man.
Unfortunately, so I used to love little shopping trips.
Yeah.
On a Saturday when you got that little piece of money and you go JJB to get a pair of work hats for school, but then you get a pair of Nike Air Max or something for the weekend.
Old school flex, trust, man. Mm.
They were the ones, man. But we should get into what's going to be going on the show today,
let's
man.
Go.
Since you're joining us. Especially for this show to co-host.
Uh-huh.
We've got two guests coming in. We've got Kaleem Taylor coming in shortly to chat about a song and just music in general, but we played one of his songs last week.
And we loved it.
And we loved it so much that Natalie had to get him in.
Straight in.
What,
straight
you just
in.
Heard one of the songs? You're like, let's
yeah,
get him
I heard
in.
A song. I played
love
it.
That.
We loved it. And
I love
need this
that.
Man to come in.
That's the way.
And we also have Jazzy coming in. He's a legend in this.
Legend.
I've known about Jazzy since the Channel U days, even
Fam,
before AKA.
That you know? Was YouTube. Content before there was YouTube content.
Exactly. 100%. Absolutely.
Vine, all of that.
Absolutely.
He was doing that 2008 or something, whatever it was.
Absolutely.
Blood.
Amazing foresight. So he's going to be coming in to join us for a chat a bit later. We've got the usual fun and games as well, and we've got tons of new music. Mm. I was really interested to see, in fact, really excited to see a new song from Little Sims on the playlist as well. I can't wait to get into that, especially.
But I think what we should do, we'll get the first guest in, but I think we'll play one of yours big songs.
Jeez!
We're gonna play Fall Off.
Let's go!
They just wanna talk like they are on things, but we know that they ain't on nothing. So, if they hate, I ain't fussing. Tell his on that, I'll brush him. Man, they're winning the service and they're cussing. But I'm due to blow, man, I've been bussing. They hate when my name comes in a discussion. Become a boss, then bug out their brain concussion. Me, I'm saying with your favorite rapper doesn't. Spit real facts of a caution, up any beat I'm touching. I don't care about the thing you're supposedly clutching.
No.
What about your balance when I ain't got much in? Fall off, little pit squeak munchkin. Talking rubbish, you ain't dumping. When I put her to sleep, I start slumping. B.I.G, I'll get the place jumping. Use a face that speaker when I set pace, a man feel the thumping. Till I chase bread, not beef. Cut eat that man's up to something. They wanna hold man down with the lease. Me, I left that there for the outright funding. Ain't tryna be stuck in the ends. Talk about who bun who and who bun him. Who runs that and who runs this? Man worked their whole life and still they ain't got shit. Dumb kids think man's rich cause they got bricks. They ain't got nothing to show and that's the plot twist. Fan they need to retire because they lost grip. Man feel the bad but the blocks in the posh bit. Me, I
apart from a black box. But you still can't measure man's speed though. And now I didn't come up with a crackpot, but still I get peace from a reload. They just wanna talk like they are on things, but we know that they ain't on now. So if they hate, I ain't fussing. Till he's on that old brushing. Man, I'm winning the service that they're casting. But I'm due to blow, man, I've been bossing, bossing. The hate on my name comes in a discussion. Look at my bars, then bug out the brain concussion. Me, I'm saying with your favorite rapper dozen. Spit real facts of a caution. I'm in the heat, I'm touching.
Don't respond to nothing but action. No. It's on, no rules, no klaxon. Trust. Don't spit nothing but facts and man out on top from heat from Axon. Them stations there got packed in, but us, man, still on the mad thing. Trust. Jamie Integrity got an award for Oscar and I ain't acting. Brought up in poverty, so my dream was to afford the best. Then I clocked, I'm only out the red when I can afford the rest. Grew up in D, obviously, with road mentality. I had to make sure man's still in these streets. Yeah. So on the mic, man's killing these beats. See man's face, man's been in big T. On all the best tunes, man's winning with feet. Trust. My vocals teetotal. These men are out here raving, pilling with cheese. Man, I got an update Insta story. Acting like shit's hunky dory. They're still living at home with nothing to show by the time they get to 40. Man, I'm still lying to the youth, so I'ma give you nothing but truth. Whether you play by the rules or stay on the road, there ain't no easy route. They all have a price to pay. I know it sounds mad when I say it. If you reach success, end up in jail or in a grave, you learn the hard way.
They just wanna talk like they are on things, but we know that they ain't on nothing. So if they hate, I ain't fussing. Till he's on that old brushing. When I'm winning, it's the reason that they're casting. But I'm due to blow, man, I've been bossing, bossing. The hate on my name comes in a discussion.
That's Fall Off by Big Zoo, our Dan very off. Special guest co-host featuring JME. We've got our first guest in at the moment. He's someone whose music you will have heard last week if you listened to the show. Mm-hmm. If you haven't heard it yet, then you can find all of our shows, I think, on Spotify, iTunes, FubarRadio.com, Gumtree.
Library.
What, Gumtree, yeah?
Yeah, someone's probably shotting them on Gumtree. Yeah. You know, they're that
gotta link them. Yeah, gotta exactly, link them, yeah. And then they play it in your ear.
Depop.
2 hours in your ear, and then you give them a fiver.
Some of them are on eBay at the moment. Right. Reasonable.
There's man outside Foot Locker, Oxford Street, shotting our radio shows on CD.
Oh, you know? They are the best brothers. Them man on Old Street.
You listen to hip hop?
Dead man on our street. We'd like you to donate to our youth club that we are.
Oh my God, Ghostbusters! I can't believe that shit's still going on. I think that's the biggest. Oh, that is. I thought I would see them for one day, and then they'd be gone.
Every single day.
You gotta respect the hustle.
You have to.
Every day.
Bro, they've made me change my route when I'm in Central.
Yeah. Now across the road. I come out Oxford Circus, cross the road, go to Nike Town, and then walk down.
Yeah, I don't even come out Oxford Circus anymore. I come out at Green Park. Just outside the ends, so I can surveil nicely. You get me? I come out Green Park, head to the tallest building in Central, and see if they're back. Only then do I descend to street level. You get what I'm saying to you? Because one time I gave away a fiver, and it was a little girl. She just scurried off into the crowd of shoppers, and I was like, "What are you even going to do with that fiver?" Yeah. But
they,
you know,
they do a lot of
I got hustled, and I respect it. You know, I respect it. Yeah, like I said, first guest in. It's
hell of an intro. That was hell of an intro.
Speaking of R&B, we've got our first guest in, and it is Kaleem Taylor.
Hey! Thank you very much for having me.
No, not at all, man. Thank you for the music, man. We really enjoyed the song that we played last week. Marcel, who is the regular. My regular co-host, he's already put it in his playlist on Spotify.
Fire.
I'm sure that's
late night.
Yeah, I'm sure playlist. That's why he's not in.
Yeah.
Today, to be fair.
In fact, I never heard from him since we played the song. Actually, it's gone. Snap.
Yeah.
No, I love it, man. I'm grateful for all the love it's received so far, man. Because you know when you make you definitely know when you make some music. Obviously, you make it for yourself, of course, but you never know how people are gonna people are going to take it.
This is true. Yeah,
so it's good when you get people that acknowledge it and want to talk to you about it and stuff like that. So I'm super grateful, man.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say as well, I just picked up on it because I looked away for a second then. I thought, wait a minute, I did not know I was interviewing Idris Elba. Has anyone ever told you that your talking voice is just like Idris Elba's?
People have said that before.
What country from?
I'm from Grenada.
Okay.
People it's mad. I looked to him and I was like, right, you actually sound, because I've just been revisiting Lufa.
Diction.
Yeah, Lufa's my thing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, the diction.
Yeah.
It's very cold.
Yeah, yeah. Which makes
I'm
it more
thinking
surprising.
Of his music right now. I'm thinking, his music is definitely going to be cold. I can think of it. I can think of it.
He needs to do this more often.
who were your R&B inspirations? Like, could it have gone another way? Did you specifically pick R&B? Was it kind of a vocation? Was it kind of picked for you in a way? Like,
kind of picked for me, to be honest, because growing up, it wasn't really like the thing to be that guy singing.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
But there was always a few though.
There was a couple, man.
And you rated them. You like, that's Abel the Miller. Singer in the end.
Yeah. But that wasn't me though.
Yeah.
But friends of mine knew that I could sing. Well, it was their opinions. It wasn't my opinion.
Right.
But I remember one time them telling me to just try singing this song. There's an Al Green song I used to sing. I was like, just sing it.
Mm.
I was like, all right, cool. So I sang it, and then they was like, you should maybe try making your own song. And then from then we just made our own song. And then it was on the radio, and then we thought, okay, this is going okay. Maybe you should just carry on.
Mm.
That's literally how it went. Super so I'm grateful like for that. The people that are around me to tell me, you should maybe try and take it a bit more seriously.
Yeah, man.
Okay,
absolutely.
Mm. And did you ever have any desires to do anything else in music? Did you ever spit? Like, was any rapping?
Yeah. I definitely had some bars. You're never gonna hear them bars though.
Fair.
One day,
yeah. When you
maybe
get
a new bar.
When you get so famous that it can't touch you, you'd be like, go on, have that.
Maybe a one bar somewhere. I might throw something in somewhere. But right now, I'm just singing.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. That's the vibe sometimes, man.
And what are your opinions on kind of contemporary R&B, because your stuff for me is very substantial R&B, and it's something that a lot of R&B I feel lacks.
Yeah,
you know,
for me, every part of music has a part to play. Whether everything's for me, that's a different conversation. Like I have people that, like, I love her, I love SZA, mm-hmm. I love Bryson Tiller, I love mm-hmm. Black, I love Angel, I love Tiana Major 9, I love there's a lot. I love Shaka. There's a lot of people. It varies. I love Sam Henshaw. So it's like everyone has like a place.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And every single part of it's important.
Yeah.
So that's 100%. Where I'm kind of at with it.
Yeah,
really.
Those are all very good artists that you cited. Yeah, actually, a few of them which have passed through the show as well.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Know? That's definitely R&B on the side that kind of that makes my ears prick up. But we should get into your song so that Big Zoo can hear what the fuss is about.
Mm-hmm. You know? Hear it.
So if you do us the honour of introducing it for us.
Okay, yeah, my name's Kaleem Taylor and this is Not Alone.
To you, I close and open my eyes, they're there. There ain't nothing new. Catch 22. I tried running, I ain't fast enough. My head don't forget much. I should be careful. What if I fall and I can't get up? Should I give up? I'm about to spiral out of control. Spiral out of control. Not alone trying to cope, not a soul can cope, not alone with you.
I'm not enough.
Not alone trying to cope, not a soul can cope, not alone with you.
I'm not alone.
Yeah. Hard to reach, hard to say that I need somebody, that I need somebody.
truth, I don't need confidence. If you feel me change into someone else, even if I don't want any help, if you see me caving, save me from myself. I'm about to spiral out of control. Spiral out of control. Not alone trying to cope, not a soul can cope, not alone with you.
I'm not alone.
Not alone trying to cope, not a soul can cope, not alone with you.
I'm not alone.
Yeah. Hard to reach, hard to say that I need somebody.
Not Alone by Kaleem Taylor, who joins myself, Big Zoo and Natalie in the studio right now. Big Zoo is, of course, my special guest co-host, as Marcel is away, no doubt, with someone in his room listening to that very song. I was going to say, I said it before, I genuinely think that that's why he's taking the day
off
today.
Yeah, he needed to.
Because he's got that in his playlist and he knows he knows it's going to work. He's got a sock on the door. He's definitely got a sock on the bedroom door.
What's the sock mean? Just don't come in. Don't come in.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah, man. Don't be sucking, don't come knocking.
Yeah, it's funny how you said it and every man knew what was going on.
Yeah. I didn't want to admit to it straight away.
Sock up on the door handle.
It's okay.
But tell us, because I'm not going to give this too much. I'm going to let you explain this one. You've recently shared the stage with not just Miguel, but Boyz II Men.
Yeah, that was a big deal to me, man, because you grow up seeing his songs, seeing his videos on TV and stuff. And to have the opportunity to share a stage, it's like, that's something different.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, in my head, I remember before the show thinking about the crowd that must be there for these lot.
Trust.
Because they're fire. They're amazing. So it's like, I put a pressure on myself. Like, you know what?
What was the exact show? How was it? Were you performing with them before them? But that's still a Bad Boy thing.
What was it? Their show? Yeah.
Where was it?
I sound terrible that I don't remember.
It happens like that, man.
I know, because I made a couple
women faint in a venue. I don't know where it was. It was just...
Was it London?
It was in London.
All right, cool.
It was somewhere.
Yeah.
And Boyz II Men was
Boyz II Men, it must have been somewhere like either Jazz Cafe or
How many people were there? I know about venue capacity. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna say nothing about it
because anything I do say, I'll be lying.
So let's just wheel it down to this: there was a good amount of people. Yeah,
enough people to make me be a bit nervous.
And that's not easy when you definitely done.
No, and it's not easy to come and sing before someone because 100% they've got their expectations. Mm. They know who they want
to
see.
They're just waiting for my man to come through.
No, being a support act is one of the hardest things in the world.
Listen, I know what it's like. I've supported a lot of tours. I've come out of a lot of things before, man, and trust. And but you know what? At the same time, it's that time, innit?
People
definitely turn around when they hear something that they
character building.
And at the end of the day, if it's your pocket. Boyz II Men is definitely sounding like your pocket.
Yeah.
So if it's your pocket, sometimes when they hear someone new, I mean, you know what I'm trying to say, they hear someone new, they might turn around and be like, he's that. I'm sure it was like that.
Yeah. It worked. I was happy with how I performed. Good. I was happy with the response. But it's just before.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think I overthink a lot though, so.
If not alone's anything to go by, then in around like 20 years from now, there'll be like a lot of little guys running around called Kaleem.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I saw you at that Boyz II Men concert. That's where Kaleem. Funny. That Kaleem was conceived that night.
That's funny.
Little Kaleem. Wow. That'd be sick.
Oh, you're killing me, man.
that's the goal though, as an R&B singer, isn't it? To just run up on your like fans' sons that like are named after you.
Godfather of the year.
Yo, this is crazy.
It's true though.
This is the best like radio.
Yeah, he weren't ready for this radio conversation.
I didn't know what was going on.
He didn't know we could say things like that.
I didn't even know we could swear, because you know they always like, they're like, make sure we don't swear. Make sure
go nuts.
You know.
But, do you know what else we do? We play games.
Go
man.
On. Woo-hoo-hoo! Go that on. Was a link. Games.
Go on.
That was like a link. I've seen one.
I missed the segue. I'm so segue.
This is tenuous even for me. But Big Zoo, you're here.
Jeez.
We're delighted.
Thank you.
You've got a song called Swag On Rhythms.
Swag On Rhythms.
If you were to have a lot of swag, you'd have a lot of money. It's a reach, but I'm going for it.
No, go on. Go for it.
I have taken some clips from songs from film soundtracks.
Okay.
What I'm going to need to know is if the film made higher or lower, less or more than the previous film.
Oh, okay.
Write down, so we've got
Don't worry. A film
write
master.
Down less or more. So I'm going to start with a film, because I listened to the soundtrack recently and I'm a big fan of this film. It is House Party 2. Party 2. The Pajama Jam. So let's hit and play.
Fire.
We'll start with that. That's, of course, Kid and Play. Ain't going to hurt nobody. Very true. Yeah. They didn't. So House Party 2 from 1991, that made $19.4 million, okay? $19.4 million in total.
For House Party 2.
Okay, so let's move on to film number two. It's a song from the soundtrack of New Jack City.
I'd rather be a New Jack hustler.
Of course, Ice-T, New Jack Hustler, from the soundtrack of New Jack City. New Jack City also came out in 1991. But write down if you think it made more or less than House Party 2. And House Party 2, remember, made $19.4 million.
Yeah.
How many questions are there?
Seven,
okay, cool.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Well, I guess six, technically, because we started with one. And I've already told you that one, so. Okay, so we're moving on to three I've got here. Which is actually weirdly, because it's kind of coincidence, but I'm moving on to this film from 1992, Boomerang.
Cool.
Baby girl.
Wow.
Now, remember,
he was my favourite guy, the guy with the baritone talking voice.
Of course.
I don't know if he even sang. I can't confirm whether he even sang, but his talking voice was so rich that they were just like, do you know what, you're just in the group now.
Yeah. That's it.
Well, that song did incredibly well, right, End of the Road, but I'm not talking about the soundtrack, I'm talking about the film.
Right.
Did Boomerang make more money or less money than New Jack City at the box office? That was out in 1992.
Cool.
Boy, they got a Bad Boy soundtrack like that. They must have made some peace.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're moving on to another film now. This is actually from 1982, slightly different vibe. This is Grease 2. That is Michelle Pfeiffer singing Cool Rider from the soundtrack.
So Grease 2.
Grease 2.
Like Grease Lightning 2.
Grease huge, right? Grease 2.
Yeah, but 2 was I don't even remember what happened in that
1982,
one.
1982, Grease 2.
I don't remember what happened in that one.
It had Michelle Pfeiffer in it.
She was the lead. She was the Danny Zuko of that film.
Oh, you lot are trying to change my whole vibe then.
I didn't know there was a Grease 2.
I lied.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I knew there was a Grease 2 or something, but I didn't. I did Grease in my primary school play. I was Kinnicky.
Yes, I
come
can
on.
See that.
Jeez. See, I got the knowledge.
Can you give us a little Kinnicky now, please?
I can't give you some Kinnicky, but I can go, go grease lining in an avocado mouth. Grease lining.
See how I even harmonised.
Yeah, that's nice.
That was nice. Did anyone else do any school plays?
My year weren't allowed.
You weren't allowed?
We were too bad. We didn't even do an activity play.
Listen, that is oppression from the school. Yeah, I don't believe in that in the system to not let a whole year do
whole
a play
year, you know,
that every single school does.
Yeah, it's true. A whole year.
What did you do?
I didn't do shit. I wasn't even bad in primary school. I was only quite primary naughty in secondary school.
How can you be that naughty in primary school that they ban you from
it was,
a play?
Do you know, the wickedest thing is it was two kids. It was Samantha and Stephen Berthier, and they were siblings. They were they were the worst
you
kids
ruining
in
man's
the history
year, play.
Of the school. They were literally the worst kids in the history of the school.
So what did they do?
Everything. What didn't they do? It just got to the point where they were like, we can't let you do a school play now.
What, can't you just take them to your other play?
Couldn't exclude them.
Why? Put them in detention.
Listen, you ruined man's experience. I can't lie. Man can't get that back.
All the school governors, like all the, what is it, the PTA or whatever, PTA. They were scared of like of their mum. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And what about you, Gideon? Did you do any...
I actually do remember doing a play in...
Which one?
What was that? I was like, there was like a... you know, like when you're learning like maths and stuff like that, and there was a thing called El Nombre when we was younger, yeah.
El Nombre.
Tell us more,
listen,
please.
Listen, so this was a little like, he's like a raccoon type guy, he'd like swinging, start singing songs about numbers, and I was that guy. I was a raccoon who sang
again.
Songs.
Can you remember any of this that you can recreate?
I can't remember,
for us
but
now?
I was the main guy.
Oh, El a Spanish raccoon.
I was the main guy, and I was proud
amazing.
Of it. And he wore like what's the little things like. Bandits and that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, the, no, like, the, like,
yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Zorro.
So, yeah, yeah, like Zorro. Yeah, yeah, so yeah. I had to swing in. I swang in. I sang my song. My mum was there. I looked at her. She was proud.
Jeez.
That's
and, yeah, that's it. I remember that. I was the main guy, though. I remember being the main guy more than the actual what I had to do in it.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
The main guy.
Maybe, fair play. Would you consider bringing that into one of your live
there's
shows,
no,
maybe?
No chance.
Bring back El Nombre.
No chance.
Jump out like, hey!
No
four
way.
4+4.
No way. No way.
Oh, well, okay, so we were at Grease 2.
Yeah, is that higher?
Oh, I've got a picture of El Nombre on the screen now.
Oh, it's El Nombre. Nice.
Let me see.
You can see on your screen.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Oh, my days.
Yep.
It's on my screen as well. El Nombre.
See?
20. Is that say 20 fantastic stories? What was that say? 20.
How was that guy?
The complete collection of 20 something fantastic stories.
El Nombre.
Lovely.
Man like El Nombre.
Okay. Ah, cool. Is that lower or higher?
So we were on Grease 2, but what I'm asking was that more or less than Boomerang? So let's move on to our
see
next.
See these films? I don't even remember.
Okay, well, this film was from 1991, and it is The Commitments. Big soundtrack. Big film, actually, at the time that it was out. What I want to know is, did that make more or less than Grease 2?
Okay.
Okay. Moving on to number 6, I think it is. Are we on 5? I don't know. Five. We're on 5. Okay. So that was The Commitments, but did this film, The Rocky Horror Show, make more or less? Okay, and then we're finishing. This is the final one for now. That's a Rocky Horror Show. I should say Rocky Horror Picture Show from 1975. This is a classic from 1987. Of course it is. Because I have the time of my life. I never felt this way before. Bill Medley, Jennifer Ward's I've Had the Time of My Life. We all know we like that song.
Yep.
But I need to know if that made more or less, do you think, than the Rocky Horror Picture Show? So let's start with number one. I'm just reading number 4, 5, 6. We had House Party 2. We started with 19.4 million, I should say. New Jack City, 1991. Let's start with Kaleem. Do you think that made more or less than House Party 2?
I said less.
Less? Okay. New Jack City, what do you think, Zoo?
I said less.
You said less. Michael Payne, what did you say?
I think definitely more.
You're correct. It made a whopping, 47.6 million.
Man said
made.
Definitely more.
Yeah, you can tell. It's Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, Chris Rock's in it as well.
Yeah.
Ah, cool.
So that was a big film.
Big film.
Huge.
Right? So it let's was. Move on to Boomerang then. So we've got New Jack City on $47.6 million.
Well,
Zoo.
I'm done at it because I said higher, innit?
No, you didn't get that one. But what do you think about, what do you think about Boomerang? Did that make more or less than New Jack City?
Yeah, that's I said higher.
Higher? Okay. All right. Yeah.
I didn't know that made
more.
Well.
You're saying more?
I said more as well.
Yeah, correct. That's $131 million. You got it right. You're on.
Listen,
so
you
board.
Don't have to remember, I'm born in 95, innit? I'm on this Toy Story thing. I know about their bread.
Well, you're right, made a lot more. Grease 2, 1982. Michael Payne, did that make more or less than $131 million? If it made more, it'd be ridiculous. But go on.
I'm going to say more.
Okay.
Less.
Less?
I said more.
point there for Clean, because it made still all right, 15.2 million.
Oh, that's so wow.
I mean, that's
man.
All right.
Grease 2 made 15.2
million. I knew it was nothing, man.
15.2. The catering on Harry Potter films is probably more than 15 million.
That's what I'm saying, man. Right.
It's mad, isn't it?
Okay, well.
Go on.
Let's move back. The Commitments. So, Grease 2, 1982, 15.2 million. The Commitments out in 1991. Kaleem, did that make more or less than $15.2 million?
I said less.
Okay. Zoo, what are you saying?
I did say less.
You
though.
Said less? What
I
did you say?
I said less as well.
You're correct. Not only by a little bit, 14.9 million that made.
Okay. So, you know, it's not. My heart still.
Rocky Horror Picture Show, then, Zoo. 1975. Higher. Yeah, Kaleem?
Same. More.
Higher?
I said more.
Okay, of course it was more. That was $140 million that is made worldwide.
140 M's.
Right, okay.
Let me get some.
Finally, with...
Any of that money still flowing about? Yeah. Can I...
yeah, man.
Finally, with Dirty Dancing, which was out in 1987, Michael Payne, more or less than $140 million. That's
I reckon
a lot
definitely more.
More, you say?
That's a
more.
Classic.
You say?
I said more.
Okay, yeah, $214 million that made, fair. Which means that... In third place, not so big zero in this one, with four points.
Bow!
But a valiant effort, though.
Come on!
But a valiant effort, but for you two, you're joint winners with five points!
There's no bonus. I do. To be fair, I do love a good joint, so...
Well done, Michael Payne.
Right. Yeah, man.
You know your films.
We have a million after. You like that, we can say that. I'm so happy.
It's great, isn't it? It's great.
It's just amazing.
Freedom!
Just
crazy.
Thank you so much for coming through to join us, chat to us, play games with us, show us the music, tell people where they can find you for the rest of the year, what you're going to be up to live wise, music release wise, social media wise.
Firstly, thank you for having me.
Not at all.
I appreciate it. It's been good talking to you and Big Zoo as well. You're savage.
Likewise.
This year I plan on getting the rest of this music out. So this project is going to be out. I'm planning to put another song out next month. I actually had some shows planned for next month as well, but the dates have been moved to April.
Okay.
But I've let people know on my socials and
about
the dates that it's been moved to, and I'm going to have more information on it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But my project Surface will be out. I'm shooting some more videos.
Nice.
I'm starting some more next week. And yeah, so this year I just plan to progress, man. Keep growing.
Brilliant.
You know?
Brilliant. Well, once again, thank you so much. Oh, quickly before you go, where can people find you online?
Yeah,
socials.
Just on Instagram, it's at Kaleem Taylor, all as one word.
Mm-hmm.
Same again with the Twitter. It's just there's an underscore in between Kaleem and Taylor.
Cool.
And that's where you'll find me.
Big. We'll catch up with my man on his socials. Definitely, he wants you to name your kids after him. We all want to see some Kaleem Taylors running
Kaleem
around.
Kaleem running true.
Love. Thank you for the love, guys.
Not at all, mate. We're going to get into another song. When we come back, we'll have a bit more chat. Big Zoo is my guest co-host. Natalie's in the house. And we've got one more guest coming in. One more game as well.
We do.
Tons of shit.
sweet sound of a Bibio sound machine with Tell Me Dokomien in brackets. I love that song, man.
I've always wanted to kind of talk in my natural voice, yeah. You know, but I have to put this voice on sometimes, you know, so people kind of understand.
You have a great character though, do you? Normally, on this voice.
Or the African man.
Like the African man, you know, that's me. That's hey. Me.
You can do the whole show like that. Me, I don't mind though.
I'd love to. I would genuinely love to. That was a Bibio sound machine with Tell Me. That was vibey. Mm-hmm. We've been speaking about touring while that song was playing. And of course, Big Zoo, my special guest co-host, you're about to embark on yet another tour.
Yeah, man.
With Chip.
Mr. Chip to the Monk.
Mm.
But there's no more Monk. It's just Chip.
It's just Chip.
Yeah, man. He's basically a zoo. And then he was Chip, Monk.
Yeah.
And now he's just the beginning of the zoo.
Yeah, this is true.
But that's why he got that bar. What's the game? With the game's like a spliff. Of course, he needs a little chip in.
Ah,
it's a good bar.
It's a very good bar.
It's a good bar, Mr.
Very,
Chip.
Very, very, very good bar. You break it down, and it's like that Dwight Schrute gif on Twitter. It's like you just look at the camera, you're like, it's true. You know, I can validate that. Does need a little chip in, unless you're American, of course.
Oh yeah,
Americans wouldn't get that because they don't put chip in. Well,
I think I saw someone on Instagram Live making his fans eat backwards, like the whole backwards.
What?
Just eat it. On Instagram, like, I don't know, man. These American people are different, man.
Yeah, man.
They take Instagram Live very serious.
Different gravy.
We got Soulja Boy fighting Famous Dex on Instagram Live the other day.
That was funny.
When he was punching his fist together, saying, let's go.
That was funny.
Yes, Soulja Boy took the game over by storm for a week.
Just randomly, just, yeah.
And you know what? His song, that Hit My Line song, the one that he was saying, like, is a classic. It's actually a good song. And it's like, it's being banged.
Is that the one that he was talking about that Drake?
That Drake copied is like, Kiss Me Through the Phone or something. That's old school.
No, it was something else.
The one that Jake copied.
Yeah, actually,
it was. Tell me.
That's it, yeah. Yeah,
what's really going on?
That's it.
Soulja Boy, your business, we are ready. What's heading
that's
in?
It. That's
and then
it.
Obviously Drake copied that. Yeah. And then Ariana Grande copied him as well.
On Seven Rings, was it?
My dad, is that me? Is that? That's what he does.
Yeah.
So someone's mashed up the song. It sounds sick.
It sounds crazy.
But I like that Seven Rings Ariana Grande song, bruv.
Yeah, yeah. So do I. I quite like a lot of Ariana Grande's music. Yeah. You know? Mm. I'm not going to lie. All my acts
don't like her now because she made a song called God Is a Woman.
And then just like that.
The axe ain't feeling her no more still.
Wow.
Because the axe, them man will say that's blasphemy, right? For me, I'm one of them people, everything's in context. But obviously, I don't know, man.
They genuinely think God is a man.
No, it's not that they think God is a man. It's that you can't compare God to anything that is us.
Right.
Like, there's a sin in Islam called shirk, which is one of the biggest sins in Islam, which is putting God on anything on God's level. So if you say, like, David Beckham is a football God, which is what people definitely always say, that is
blasphemy.
Just like shirk.
Of course.
So saying God is a woman is the same kind of vibe. It's less about the fact that they're calling it, saying that he's a woman. Like, we say God, he.
Yeah.
But we're just used to doing that because we don't call God a thing.
Yeah.
But then that's
women's point.
Yeah, 100%.
That's a woman's point. So you're already assigning a gender.
And that's the thing, the song is empowering for women, 100%. But I feel like it's more about the undertones for people when it comes to religion.
Right.
Like, have you seen the Nike shoe thing?
No.
So Nike made a shoe called 270. It's like the new Air Max.
The 720.
The 720, whatever it is, I can't remember, bruv. That one, yeah?
Right.
I pull it up. They sent me the new ones, and I pull it up on my Snapchat. And someone sent me like this thing, this message that you know, one of them WhatsApp group messages, it says that it says Allah on the bottom of the shoe.
Yeah.
So I looked at the Air Max sign, and then it shows you the Air Max sign, and then in Arabic it says God, and then they're telling me, my people are telling me, yo, you shouldn't be wearing that shoe. So I'm like, bruh. Then I've gone on Snapchat, seen in the Daily Mail, whatever their little post, they're talking about how like Muslim people are doing a petition to ban the trainer from Nike. And it's like, I'm Muslim myself, and I just got that trainer from Nike.
Yeah.
So I was sitting there thinking, right, am I really not going to wear the shoe because they can translate the letters on the bottom? Because the whole point is that it's on the bottom of the shoe.
Right.
So then
and
you're walking on God's name.
Yeah.
But did Nike really intend to make that Air Max sign
look like
Arabic God?
Yeah.
For me,
Everything's about intention.
Yeah.
Have you seen it? See, it's there. Whoa, we got screens.
You do.
So we get to visualize what we're talking about. And that's the whole thing. So
let me get a closer look at this one.
So you can see it. Like, they're proper going in. Like, people trying to do petitions, want to ban the shoe. I think, for me, it's a bit far-fetched, isn't it?
That's a reach. It's I'm literally, sorry.
Can you see? Because basically, it's that thing and then the one line from the air.
Yeah.
Is, but, bruv.
They, now, that is a,
and
that
it's
is
happened the, to them before. It's happened to them before. Yeah, so they put that air on the back
that
of one trainer.
That was an old basketball shoe. I can't remember,
so you remember
what it was.
Like 98s. It was 98
yeah,
times.
Right, exactly.
And they banned the shoe.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember at one
there
point.
It is, look there.
Yeah.
I just think that's a bit of a reach still. I just, yeah.
I don't
because,
know.
Because you have to turn it upside down it? For it to look like
conspiracies,
that as well.
Isn't it? Conspiracies. Yeah, people make conspiracies.
Yeah, they're fun. They're fun.
People
to,
like
to
think like Nike have these superpowers who want us to believe in God, who want us to walk on God. Is that, brother? I don't
Come
know, brother.
Man.
And even if they're doing that,
yeah, I think they're just really, mean that. Really interested.
I don't mean,
in
I'm just
running.
Wearing a shoe, fam.
Yeah,
I don't mean that, fam. Do you know what I'm saying? Bro, it's like, in one of my songs, I say Inshallah, which is God willing.
Yeah, of course.
And people say you shouldn't say that on music because there's all these drums and violin. And
they say it's haram, it's haram to perform music.
Yeah, okay. So I'm saying God on music. So that must be like ultimate haram. But fam, it's not to me.
Yeah.
And it's my intention. And it's me and God.
Yeah.
So what are you going to tell me?
I guess we all have people who practice their faiths a lot more and will, in all religions, you know, and will kind of, you know, for want of a better phrase, jump on their high horse about it.
100%.
But then you've always got to kind of take a passage. I'm not religious at all, to be honest, but I always say to people, which is a passage from the Bible, I think, you know, he who is without sin, throw the first stone.
Uh-huh.
If you're living your life perfectly, then you can tell me something.
Yeah.
If you can tell me something. It's the same with, like, say, Christianity. My I was brought up in a very strong Catholic household.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'd have a lot of kind of friends who were very kind of pious and stuff, and they'd be like, oh, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that, or this is wrong and that's wrong, and then you'd just be like, but you're having sex before marriage, okay, let's just take the most basic one, you know,
it's
when
wrong.
No one's perfect, that's wrong. So I think as long as you're not
hard,
hurting
man.
anyone,
I think it's hard. I think obviously in Islam there's so many things that are sins that people don't realise, like telling people to not do something that you're not doing is a good thing. Don't get it twisted, because it's like me telling someone don't smoke because it's bad for your lungs.
Yeah.
And I'm still smoking. I'm allowed to tell you that, but I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah, there you go.
But I still want good for you.
Yeah, true.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
True.
But
true,
I can't force it down your throat if I'm doing my own thing. Like, if I'm a father raising my children, I'm smoking around them every day.
Yeah.
I can't expect them to start smoking weed and I start going to, you can't smoke weed.
Yeah. Because if you're smoking around them, by virtue of the fact that you're smoking, they're smoking anyway.
That's the thing. You
wouldn't even be able to tell
but
them
it
to stop smoking.
It goes back. Like, it's not just religion. I think it's just control of people. I feel like we're in a time now where things are changing. I tweeted something the other day saying that the world is telling you how to think.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we're in a time now where people have so many opinions on stuff and so many morals and values that are getting battled.
Yeah.
Like, how people really feel is getting tested.
Yeah.
And now it's translating just from social media, now it's going to the workplace.
Yeah.
Certain views that you would have had on certain issues in society, now you can't have that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. Not because you think it's wrong, because people's moral compass is changing. People are all openly saying, we shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be sexist. We shouldn't be homophobic. We shouldn't be racist. And before, whereas you could do it and people would say, it's harmless, man. Oh, it's harmless, man. I don't even mean it. Oh, it's fine. Now you can't even say that.
Yeah.
You can't even say certain things. Like, I've seen a lot of people talking about how people call Jewish people rich all the time.
Right.
And some people like to, some of my boys are going, bro, who cares, bro? That doesn't mean nothing. That's not bad. But some people don't like that.
Yeah.
And now it's getting to a place where people are becoming aware that even like how people sexualize black men, that kind of thing, it's the same pocket.
Yeah.
Whereas that was calm in the workplace, that was okay. Now it's shifting to, you can't even tweet that.
Yeah, no, it's true. Now, stereotypes have always kind of offended some people.
100%.
I think this is neither right nor wrong. I think it's just been amplified, like you said, by social media. But the offended, their voices have been amplified in all kind of situations.
100%.
So whether, like you said, it's the stereotype of Jews being rich or black men being sexualized, now you can hear about people's offense about anything, uh-huh. any conceivable idea, any conceivable stereotype, yeah. even if you don't necessarily, even if you think it's harmless.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I mean? You're, yeah. you're absolutely right. You know, being a black man myself, I've grown up hearing kind of stereotypes about black men and always thinking to myself, well, how come my penis is modestly sized then? You know what I mean? I was the first one not to believe the stereotype, to be really honest with you. Do you know what I mean? I only had to look at myself. Do you know what I mean?
But, no, but that's what I'm saying. That's a grown thing to say because the realness, bro. People, I think like we're at a time now where, like I said, a lot of things are getting voiced. But now, if you ain't thinking right, you're going to get blackballed.
Yeah.
People are going to look at you like, you're wrong. Even people that may agree with you will look at you and be like, just to fit in.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what's happening now. I'm seeing a lot of tweets that, I'm seeing like tweets about like a lot of stuff that's going on with, in terms of rape and women's rights, that kind of thing. And I'm seeing a lot of men are definitely voicing their opinion now on how they think things are wrong. But sometimes I question some men what they do, and it's like, are you doing that just for the Twitter? But at the same time, it's good because you're still spreading the right message.
Yeah.
And I'd rather it be false.
Yeah.
I'd rather it be false and done because you just want to fit in than have nothing at all.
That's true. Or say something.
My only but is we're heading to a time where people are telling people how to think.
Yeah.
And that always doesn't need to think good things.
Yeah.
People always are going to rebel one day. Like, I feel like that leads to hate groups.
Yeah, of course.
Because people have no more freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And freedom of thought. Because everything is being categorized to that's wrong, that's right.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to be like that, and you're not allowed to be like this.
Yeah.
And that is wrong, that is wrong. That is, whereas before, people used to see it like levels, like, is sexism really bad? Racism bad? It's like some people be like racism is really bad, but sexism, that's fine. Don't be rude to Arab people and black people, but I don't mind discriminating against women because that's how I've been brought up.
Yeah.
But now, that's changing. Now that sexism is the same level as that racism, and now people have to question themselves as a person. You have to question your morals and values.
Yeah,
and I think it's dangerous, man. I think it's dangerous because you're not allowing people to learn through personal experience. You're making them learn just because they're getting told to learn.
Right.
So do you know some racist people I've met in my life? They've only like realized that they was wrong when they met like somebody of color who was a nice person. Then they start thinking, rah. This guy's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
true.
If they were just being told by social media that was the way, they'd probably still never get to that place. They still need to have that interaction.
Yeah.
They still need to learn.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're showing young people, yes, this is wrong, but they're still going to always have that underlying thing in their mind of they make their own decisions. So, yeah. I mean, it's a good thing. It's a weird thing. And that's why I think we're talking about it, because for me, it's been on my mind.
No, you're absolutely right. I think the one thing that we can all agree on is that it is kind of strange. It's a strange time we're living in now.
It's never been like this.
Never.
Because it used to be subtle.
Yeah.
How people wanted you to think of things and how people wanted you to perceive things was through subtle ways, like maybe the media or the school system, or now is we don't want you to think like this.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
Everyone's a teacher now.
But they can go on to it and say, you're not allowed to wear t-shirts that are black and then cause a proper thing. Black t-shirts not allowed, and then you start wearing a black t-shirt and you might be like, I need to take off this black t-shirt, man. It's like bootcut jeans.
No, never. Don't. Yeah, don't wear them.
I'm glad they got phased out.
They can never come back.
I'm glad they got phased out by.
But they got socially phased out, like it was cause people were saying, realized, like,
I think people had a cultural, like a collective awakening.
Yeah.
You know people say, I'm woke. I think the first instance of people wokeness. Waking up was going, what the fuck am I wearing?
Why can't I see my shoes?
I don't wear boots. Why am I wearing bootcut jeans?
Why can I not see my shoe? I've spent £150 on my shoe, on my trainer. I can't even see the trainer. Right. All I can see is the tip of the top of the shoe.
I don't think anyone. So I mean, the only person that still wears bootcut is Simon Cowell. And you know,
you know
when you see the bottom of the jeans and they're like kind of ripped and they're like muddy because they're dragging across the floor.
Yeah.
Simon Cowell and plainclothes officers. They're the only people that still wear bootcut.
I was watching America's Got Talent, The Champions. It's their new series. Yeah. It's on Netflix, isn't it? And when you're on Netflix,
wow,
you're just
they've
infiltrated new episode every week. I'm locked in, boy, because they're getting all like the best people to do their talent, whatever. But bruv, like it throws back because it shows people. It's old people from the show coming back on the show, so it shows you Simon from back in the day, and it shows you different clips of Simon. Bro, that guy has not changed. No gums.
No,
one time,
true.
So much money,
yeah.
Still the
T-shirt,
V-neck, the V-neck thing. Like he is a G.
Yeah.
You have to rate it.
But the silhouette has got to be the same, doesn't it?
Boy,
that's how you sit. When you're that famous, it's like Karl Lagerfeld. Have you ever seen him in anything other than the black roll neck?
No, and the blazer that he
and
wears,
the sunglasses, and the white hair, and the gloves.
It fits it. It's like Homer Simpson.
If you see Homer Simpson
in next clothes,
you think there's got to be a reason. Yeah, exactly. What the fuck's gonna go on now? You know what I mean? There's some impending doom going on or something. Is this like the season finale of The Simpsons or something? Why is Homer wearing a dashiki?
Soldier Boy and his Gucci headband.
Yeah, Soldier Boy takes off that Gucci headband. It's like the Ravens leaving the Tower of London, isn't it? The kingdom might fall, you know.
But what would it take for either of you or both of you? Like, you have to to get into a pair of bootcut jeans. I know you don't like them. What would it take to see you in a pair of bootcuts?
You know what? If I was doing like a throwback day, like 4XL white t-shirt, proper bootcuts, Timberlands, like that swag.
Yeah, maybe.
You're not sure. Michael's
but
not sure.
When anyone talks to me, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm throwing it back to that. Hi, Zoo, how you doing? Oh, you know, I'm throwing it back.
Yeah, that's a good conversation when you have to describe why you're wearing your outfit to everybody you meet. Yeah, this is what's happening.
I've had a couple days.
You start to feel like a vegan. Oh, they're telling everyone.
There's a hole in my trouser because I fell over today.
There's a nice pair of bootcuts on our. Oh, lovely.
Wow. Have you got a license for that?
No, but it's getting too tight. Let's be real.
Yeah.
In certain places.
I've seen too many calf
muscles.
Because,
bro, right now, my jeans are, like, kind of tight. I'm a big lad, yeah? And they're a bit flaily. They're not bootcutty, but someone will say these are bootcuts. Yeah. But, bro, I can see, like, my calf muscle.
Yeah.
So how are these bootcuts?
This is true.
These ones on the screen right now are emotional.
So there's a man wearing a pair of bootcuts on our screen. How would you describe the leg?
It's like... I don't know how to explain.
If it rains, it's long.
Yeah.
Let's just put it like that.
That's true.
But I remember back day, I used to wear the bootcut jeans and I used to rip at the bottom all the time.
Yeah, of course.
All the time.
It's that trailing bit of fabric.
Oh, it's so jarring. It's all muddy. But I didn't change it. I still wear the same jeans.
You had to wear 95s if you didn't want it to touch the ground because the air bubble at the back would kind of...
That's why. Bootcut jeans are 95. That was classic.
I think that's what they were made for.
Uh-huh.
It's a look.
It is a look. It's a look. If you want to recreate that, then good
It'll
luck
come
to
back.
You.
Everything comes
that's
back.
That's what they're saying. None
everything
they are saying
has its time, man.
Flip phones are coming back.
Yeah, everything has its time.
The '90s are coming back.
Everything has its time. I feel like, you know, as people, we always get comfortable and then we're like, "Well, we need to change."
Yeah,
we never just sit in for something and be like, "I'm going to be like this forever." We naturally like to progress.
Yeah,
unless you're just super lazy.
Everything is cyclical.
I don't know, man. For me, I feel like we're in a time where things are definitely emotional. Brexit's happening, all of this stuff. And I feel like a lot of young people my age who are getting to that point in life where they're realizing, whoa, what am I going to be? What am I going to do? Mm. What am I going to get into? And all these businesses that are on Instagram and all that things, I feel like people's like guidelines of how life used to be is changing, bruv. Mm. Like, people don't just want to get into a normal career anymore. Some people just want to be famous, bruv. And it wasn't like that back then. People wanted to get into the industry, entertainment industry. People wanted to do stuff. People, like, there was different avenues. You know what I'm trying to say? Like,
no, you're absolutely right.
But I feel like now more and more people are, like, we're in a time where investing in yourself is, like, the new sick thing.
Mm.
Like, working a normal job isn't cool anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas before, that was, like, the thing. Work, get a house. Oh, you're respected. Now it's like... self-employed, you got a business. Oh, you're sick. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like...
And everything's a business now.
Yeah,
people make a business out of absolutely anything. Mm. Like self-care. You know, there are self-care celebrities now, you know? And then and you're like, okay, cool. So you're telling me that, you know, I ought to kind of let go of these things, and that's how you got famous, by telling
self-care,
you know, people you know, like self-love kind of influence.
There's
a bag of them out there now,
killing it
absolutely. Yeah. And that's
and
the thing,
mad
it's,
money.
It's ironic, it's quite ironic, because they're like, you know, you don't need all of these things.
It's like that slum power chick,
right? Okay.
And then she was like mad known because she was doing like this thing about like anti saggy breasts, basically.
Oh, this, what's
saggy.
It?
The slum
hashtag,
power.
Saggy
boobs mouth.
Saggy.
So she was killing it.
Yeah, people, no. Great guest we had on quite a few months ago.
But she just did a video saying, about how important it is to have your own house.
Yes.
And how to have your own apartment.
That was quite tone deaf.
And then she got bare backlash. Yeah. And
does
it's
she mean
mad.
Own? Does she mean rent or does she mean own? What does
well,
she
just
mean?
Have.
Just
you
have.
Know?
In, she said you need to be in your own space, basically.
Amid the housing crisis, it was definitely tone deaf and it was definitely a fault. And
so,
I think she would admit that as well.
Yeah,
because
100%.
If you look at her sort of social media, I think it's just all gone. She took it down and stuff. So
yeah,
because
it's not easy when you build yourself up around. When you build yourself up around that kind of like... that kind of vibe.
When you got that message, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
and
then
you
right.
go against it in people's eyes, now you can lose everything that you've built yourself up for.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel that's dangerous with that with the people that are doing those kind of things, because you are kind of like sitting in somebody's opinion, and that's why you're there, because you're the
someone can
face
relate
of it.
To you,
you're the face of it. And as soon as you change or say something that you may feel is correct, and if they don't agree with you, boom, they might not even want to like work with you anymore. And it's mad.
I suppose it goes back to what you were saying about having a good message, but the motive for your message.
100%.
You know?
100%.
It only remains to be seen. Time is the only thing that reveals what people's kind of real motives for the message were, I suppose, you know. But everyone's got their cause that's dearest to them. It's like, again, it goes back to what you were saying about, you know, racism and sexism.
Yeah.
To a woman, you know, sexism will be just as bad as racism.
Yeah, 100%.
To a person of colour, say a man of colour who has only ever encountered racism but has never really been in tune with the plight of women growing up in the modern world, under the patriarchy and stuff, then they won't see
the levels.
Sexism 100%. As on the same level 100%. Because we all
and
we
it's
all
like
kind
us
of
growing,
treat-
in the, growing up in the ends, we all think that like homophobic people is a mad thing.
Yeah.
We think that someone being gay is mad. We make it our business. For some reason.
Yeah.
And then once you break out of that bracket, you're like, bruv, why have I thought like this? Mm. Why have I been raised in this environment that you have to say no homo after certain things?
Yeah.
We can't just have a laugh at the innuendo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say?
No, absolutely.
Like the other day, I was making a joke and I was like, bruv, old school little zoo, I would have never said that.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, bruv, why do I have to care?
Yeah.
Why?
Absolutely.
And it's like you said, man, it's just like what you think is important or not.
Absolutely.
Man. And times are changing. Times are changing, man.
Fully.
Times are changing.
On that note, we should get into some music. When we come back,
we'll have a little chat. I think we'll have to get into a story, maybe.
All right, say no more.
We'll do this.
Embedded in me, that's the heritage ego. And them, hey, they ain't messing with the sleeves though. And now I'm here, can't entertain no bummy niggas. Need my nigga fresh in a tuxedo. Me and my Luke Cage, steady blowing weed smoke. I'm a woman who can teach you a little something about class. Diamonds will forever be a girl's best friend. Everything's imperative for the way I live. I know it's material, but not irrelevant. All this here is worked for, not inherited. Told myself I rate my niggas up and never did. Self-loving, need more self-loving. That's how it goes. They wanna know you when you're buzzing. The first things first, number one, I'm priority. Call it what you want, doesn't faze, doesn't bother me, honestly.
I can't sleep the night, I don't wanna fight. My best friend is I. I'm so selfish, guess I'm meant to know. Baby, I'm doing you right, heard it all my life. I'm so selfish.
Everything in this divine turn. I peeped, you couldn't handle a woman in my caliber. Had to let you mature like some fine wine. Yeah, no validation, no applause. You don't have to prove you got it when you know it's yours. I don't wanna feel disloyal for wanting to do me. Then you act brand new when I know the cause. Wait, call it what you like.
Till now I'd never been the selfish type. Till now I'd never told nobody no. Don't get it twisted, this shit didn't happen overnight. Still, if your life is amazing, what you got to fear? Can't be concerned about what they're saying up there. I make it clear, don't be in and out about what you hear. They say I always get what I want and it isn't fair, but life isn't fair, go.
I can't sleep at night, I don't wanna fight. My best friend is I, I'm so selfish. Guess I'm in denial.
That's Selfish featuring Cleo by Little Sims. Big tune. Big. Very well produced. I love the drums. I can't remember where I've heard drums like that before, but I think it might. Do you know what? It's Yours by Wu-Tang.
Yours.
The drums in It's Yours by Wu-Tang very much remind me of the drums in Selfish by Little Sims. I'm just putting that one out there. If anyone wants to kind of. Call me out on that, debunk that, then feel free to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just an excuse to hear It's Yours by Wu-Tang, to be fair. Definitely feel free. It's a big tune. I'm glad you like that song.
Yeah,
are you going to try and get down to, because the Wu-Tang are touring
with Public Enemy and De La Soul and DJ Premier.
Would be a gig to attend. Yeah. I don't know. I hope I can attend.
I hope too.
I met the whole Wu-Tang
in
America. In South By, I went to South By Southwest, and I went to like a function on the first day when it's like loading.
Of course.
And they were just all chilling. Big. Like all of them. I was like, what? Wu-Tang? I was like, I'm from London. So they was like, they could hear the gas.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what are you lot on? Like, we're just chilling, man. I was like, say nothing, bro. You lot do your thing. Like, I was like, bro, America's different, man. You walk through South By, you just see the whole of Wu-Tang.
That's right. Incredible.
You know what I'm saying? But, bro, that music there, fam, I'm telling you, go to youths that are just a bit younger than me, they have no clue.
Yeah, it's sad, isn't it? It feels like there's a barrier. There's been a lot of kind of arguing going on about that kind of thing, but focus more on UK rap. On Twitter, there's been a lot. You probably noticed some of it as well. But what I will admit, from my perspective, being an old boy when it comes to like music, it is quite sad that that some artists aren't remembered as much, and it seems like they're being erased. But at the same time, I always think you can't chastise someone for what they don't know.
100%.
You just can't do it. You can't chastise for someone.
I've got a mad example for you.
Don't know.
Are you ready for this example? Yeah. Santan Dave doesn't listen to Nas. No Nas.
But everyone compares him to Nas. People like would none. Expect him
like,
to. Wouldn't
I'm
they?
Talking none. Hasn't heard the album with Damian Marley all the way up to hasn't heard Illmatic.
Right.
Yeah? Like doesn't care for a Nas song. Like I'll be there. Like okay, listen to this. Like listen to this.
Yeah.
How about you listen? Doesn't care, but like he still makes conscious music.
Everyone
he still
says he's the UK Nas. Well, not everyone, UK but Nas. A lot of people say
everyone
he's the
compares
UK
him to Nas because they're at the same age, same things.
Yep.
And it's like you said, like can I get onto him for not knowing who Nas is?
You can't.
At the time, I was like, you're a prick. Why do you not know what Nas is? You're supposed to be Nas. But then I realized, how can I knock him? He grew up on UK rap,
right? Like, and the thing is, like, he might have grown
Judge
up on
Souls, all them kind of man, that kind of vibe.
But
like,
them man would have listened to Nas.
Yeah, 100%.
So Nas is still kind of part
he's
of Dave's DNA.
100%.
You know, it's like not knowing your great grandparents or your grandparents. You're still aware that you are, you know, their DNA is within you. You are part of their lineage.
Yeah, 100%.
But I just don't think you can chastise someone for what they. It's just going to end in tears, isn't it? It's only going to end in tears because that person's going to get defensive and then just be like, but wait, what? Like I didn't know.
Yeah.
Then, It's just,
I mean, you could chastise someone if they hadn't heard of Wu-Tang, but then they did and they went, I don't like it. Then you could be like,
even
well,
then you're like,
it's hard, bro. There's times like their songs haven't got a lot of bass. Mm. They're not mixed like how our songs are mixed now. I mean, obviously they got powerful mixes that I think are still like kicking, but you play someone Amigos song that's going boom,
yeah, boom, yeah, right,
boom, boom, and then you play this low end, low frequency,
probably recorded on an SM58.
Yeah, mic, bro. Like, and it's like for them, they're like, I can't connect with this.
Yeah,
I'm not connecting to that lyric. How you're connected to that? Yeah. Lyric. To me, that's just a cool lyric.
It's a demo.
Alright, music's changing, man.
It is. Music's changing, man. And kids have got different soundtracks now.
Bro, you know? Gun Lean is a top 10 single.
Yeah.
Gun Lean. You know that's owned by Press Play.
Right.
And Press Play is owned by a company that own they own Crep Protect.
Right.
And they own My Whip, which is like a new,
so I knew My Whip was something.
So you see the My Whip,
there's an advert, yeah, at the beginning, very of the beginning of the video.
He
video.
Comes in a Lamborghini, mm-hmm. and then they're like, oh, is that a Renault? He's like, no, it's My Whip. Whip.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what's that? And it's an app. Basically, My Whip is an app that every 100th cab you order,
yep.
you might get a Lamborghini.
Yeah. Mm. It's a supercar, yeah. And it's guaranteed, apparently.
100%
yeah. Hold on, one out of, so it's not you might, it's you will.
You no, will,
out,
but...
One out of 100
It might
bookings.
Be a Lambo, it might be a Ferrari. Yeah. Okay. Oh. It might be a Rolls Royce.
Yeah. And they got a gold, they got a gold Lambo.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You'll start seeing... Now that we've mentioned it, you'll launching. Start seeing the ads on the
It's
tube.
Launching, yeah. it's launching. They haven't launched... Yeah, my friend works for them, they're launching soon, but they, as a company, have a top 10 single.
Yeah.
That's just business. There's nothing to do with music, man.
Yeah.
Like, don't get twisted. Big up Russ. Big up him for what he did. Mm. Like, it's his song.
Yeah.
It's his vibe, but that is pure marketing and using the sound of, like, Gun Lean on the beat as well. He's remixing a girl that's remixing somebody else.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
That's true.
Like the Shaku on the beat as well.
Yeah, it's true.
He's remixing that Loz chick who's not an artist.
Yeah.
He's actually sampling her thing to a Gun Lean on the beat as well.
That's a good point.
Do you get it? So it's all built up of culture.
Yeah.
Of what these young people are vibing with.
Right, exactly.
But they control it so much that it can get top 10.
Yeah.
Whereas back in the day, we all as young people might have loved this kind of song, but it will never chart.
Yeah.
Never. Because you couldn't have the power to make that chart.
Yeah.
We couldn't all go to HMV and buy enough singles for it to chart. Man has to be rich.
This is true.
Whereas now, I'm signed up to Apple Music. I could put that song on loop all day.
Yeah.
And I'm helping that person. And as the culture, we all love to do this. Oh, this guy's going to chart today. Let's all back it.
Yeah.
And then everybody gets on it.
Like, not if you don't like it, though.
Oh, obviously, it depends on your opinion, innit?
Yeah. No, but
some
that's
people
the thing
will back what they don't like.
Yeah, everyone gets... I feel like some people get quite militant with that type of thing.
Right, 100%.
And it's like, you know, this... You have to... It's like, and it's like...
For the culture.
Yeah,
it's like, buy it, share it.
What about my music taste?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everything for the culture, but what about my taste?
No, a good example was Funky Friday with Dave.
Like, that's a big tune.
So he went number one. And obviously that's a wavy song, but some people don't like it as much as his other stuff.
And fair play to them, then don't stream it. That's what I would
say.
Even my own music.
But that's what I'm saying.
Wanna...
But for them, they had that battle where it's I want this artist that I like to do well. I may not specifically like this specific song.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bang it just for him to do well.
Yeah.
And now it's like that kind of control over us man charting and doing it. Don't get twisted, Dave charted definitely was organic. But I'm saying now there is that vibe where let's push that because but they don't know there's a company behind that's lapping it up right now. Like, thank you. You guys push our song to number
one. Yeah, for real. This is true.
I mean, it's changed, man. People don't like necessarily decide what song they like, but I feel like there's more room for people who have different tastes now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of room.
Yes, like infinite space now. Because of the internet, you're right. You can exist in these subcultures now where, you know, you're just one of like millions of, say, Ariana Grande fans you've never met. You never even leave your room, but you're all a big family. I don't even know what she calls it. What are Ariana Grande fans called?
I don't know, bruv.
Do fan clubs have names anymore?
They 100% have a name.
They will have a name. Because
I remember there was like Beliebers,
the Beehive with
the
Beyonce.
The Beehive with Beyonce, right?
Gaga's got one. What are they called? The Gaga's got some.
The demons? Or, no, it's
no,
the monsters.
Little monsters.
Something like that.
But do people name fandoms anymore?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I have Joints Crew.
Okay.
Joints Crew. So I started saying Joints everything, and then I made the Joint Show.
Okay.
And then I was like, yo, you lot are the Joints Crew.
Right, fair play.
I've slowed down on it now, But yeah, it did big bits for me. It's so, you know what it is? For the representation,
it's a
so
collective
sick.
Consciousness,
like,
isn't it?
I joint crew member, big up Zoo. Like, it's easy for them to say.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
That's and then it
causes it, forces intrigue.
On screen,
that,
have a look. That Arianators.
It sounds like a piece of equipment you need if you have a certain, like, disorder or something. Yeah, you're going to have to buy an Arianator for that child, I think. She's not going to be in hospital anymore.
I said you're going to need to buy an Arianator. That sounded so right.
Once we get the Arianator, she'll be able to come home. She'll be homeschooled with the Arianator.
Oh, what's Ed Sheeran?
The Sheeranators. I remember that.
Cheerios.
That's it. Cheerios.
We got my Cheerios. All right, he's going for a lot of passa right now.
With Marvin Gaye's people,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, man. But boy. I listened to it. I don't know if you guys can get it up, but it's very similar.
It's I'm not going to lie. It's like man just sang over the Let's Get It On instrumental.
Basically, because bro, the beginning of the beat, yeah, is basically, I was playing it the other day and I was listening to it and I was like, rah, the beginning of the Marvin Gaye beat is all these different instruments and sounds creating a sound. Mm. Whereas the one on Ed Sheeran's song is literally just the guitar lick.
Yeah.
Kind
it's,
of
just, it's just,
they, so it's like he's taken the whole, he sampled the song into a melody. Basically,
well, it's like I feel like it's just basically they both have this, the main part of Let's Get It On has this, these guitar chords, and I feel like, you know, personally, that's exactly what sounds, well, the main riff. It's not even the end. It's like
the
main
riff. Yeah, the whole thing, 100%.
And the thing is, that's like quite a basic
chord.
You know.
But it's that second part that I just did. That end part is the exact same thing on the track.
If it happens that the judge decides, boy, you know, you got to break Marvin Gaye's estate off a bit of peace, then that's just what's going to have to happen, isn't
but
it?
But he definitely made bad peace on that change. So
that's it. And it does, you know, like Shape of You, that's another multi-million generating song. Yeah. So if he's got to break off peace from Thinking Out Loud, it's not that big a deal, I don't think. I genuinely don't think it's going to ruin
him. The stress is long. I'm definitely put off sampling music, man.
Yeah,
I do. So I'm coming back with more samples.
I don't think you should be off. Just think credit where credit's due. No, credit where credit. Because Ed has in the past credited people. This is why I'm so mystified as to why they didn't just credit. Because Ed credits on a previous single. What's it called? Don't. He credits Lucy Pearl on that because he says don't fuck with my love, and they're like, don't mess with my man. He credits TLC on
is it Shape of You
right, because there's a very similar part where pre-hook,
same vibe.
Their hook is similar to his pre-hook, so he's credited them on that.
Okay,
just failed to credit Marvin Gaye Thinking Out Loud, and that's where he got caught out. It's as simple as that. You know, mistakes get made, but as long as you kind of own up to it and say, do you know what, okay, even if I didn't intentionally do it, because people can copy stuff unintentionally.
Yeah,
I think things can be in your psyche. You'll find yourself an earworm.
I do,
you know,
all
you'll
the
find
time,
yourself
man.
Humming an earworm, and a melody might kind of inspire you to sing a melody that you've already heard before,
but you're changing,
you know,
it a little bit,
right?
That's music, isn't it? It's hard to make groundbreaking music, man.
Well, yeah, it is.
Talking about music, let's go to some music and then we'll get our next guest in the studio.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Sono libate, ni pate, sono libate, ni pate, sono libate, ni pate. Sono libate, ni pate, sono libate, ni pate, sono libate, ni pate. Se o que sentiu tu di, oh, continue to me. Se o que sentiu tu di, oh, continue to me. Se o que sentiu tu di, oh, continue to me. Se o que sentiu tu di. Oh, continue to knee.
That's Pateni Pat by Charlotte Adigiri. Or it could be Adigiri. She has an accent over the
Charlotte's new song.
Pateni Pat. We got our second guest of the day in. It's 32 minutes past five. Callum McSwiggan's up next with guests including Natalie always pretends she knows.
No, so I do know.
Stick it on her to test her. You can hear the paper rustling.
Carl Duvall. Thank you. I know it's on my paper and I knew that as well, but this goddamn printing on both sides ruins it all.
Oh.
Sorry. And a stylist.
Rita Ora's stylist.
They got Rita.
And she's a West London girl as well, isn't she?
She's on the ends, man.
So, like I said, we've got a special guest, a second special guest in, and it is, of course, a bit of a legend, actually, as far as I'm concerned.
Definitely.
100%. We can agree on that, right?
Uh-huh.
Wow, okay, cool. It's a legend. It's Jazzy.
Yo, cheers! Thank you. Shabba. I appreciate that. I really like that.
From Channel U times, man.
Yeah, man.
You know,
when I was a young G, I was saying,
yeah,
you were doing joints before there was a YouTube. Yeah,
it's crazy.
And I remember when all your videos went on YouTube. That was before we had any Gram Report. We had any like Instagram, Vine, all them things. There, man, just have to watch the YouTube videos over and over again. Yeah. Them little clips. But I used to look into that TV program, G.
Guy, thank you, bro.
What year was that?
2008. I was like, I was still in college.
Mad. Damn.
I was in college. I was like 17.
Yeah. Mad.
I haven't even touched 30 yet. You know, I'm a young guy.
Jeez, jeez.
Yeah, you still look exactly the same, to be fair,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
Still be out here doing baby boy.
You know, we have to. We have to for a whole minute. You know, we have to for a whole minute.
But you've come forward in leaps and bounds over the last like decade or so, man.
Yeah, man.
And there's another show.
Yeah.
That that you've not only written.
Yeah.
But directed.
Yeah.
Produced.
Yeah.
And starred in yourself.
Yeah, man. I co-written with Arnold George, okay. AKA Squeezy.
Yes, of course. Yeah, another legend from the channel.
Yeah,
days.
Man.
Yeah, so, yeah, man, we did that. That was a bit crazy because obviously we had a show called Smokey Barbers that was out before. That was out like 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
And then that was crazy. And then people were just asking to... You know, they wanted some stuff back. And then Arnold kind of just basically gassed me up. I was in New York and he was just like, yeah, bruv, let's bring back the show. Let's do something. And I was like, nah, I'm not on it. And he was like, yeah, come on, bruv. And I was
How come? At that point, were you not on it?
Basically, yeah, I just felt like obviously I was, I've been doing this for a while, innit? And obviously what started to happen was I was going into meetings and it just felt like I was just, there was like a ceiling.
Right.
I was like, bruv, like I've been doing this for years. I'm killing it. Like there's still no opportunities. They're still telling you like, you know, when you're going to auditions and stuff, like you're great and all of that, but you just don't fit in. So I just started getting fed up, man.
Mm.
And then we had a movie deal. I had a movie deal that we announced everything we was going to shoot. And then they pulled out last minute. And then I said, fuck it, man.
Damn.
I'm going to New York. And then, I ended up there for like 3 months and came back and then did the show.
Yeah. And although that particular movie's been like shelved, hopefully for the time being, are there any plans for it to see the light of day?
Yeah, yeah, it will, definitely, 100%. But I was just in my feelings. I think at the time it was like, bruv, this industry, it's just a bit mad, isn't it? Like, you know what I mean?
So
I felt like I just needed some time to just think, regroup, figure out what I wanted, what was my purpose. And I came back and now I'm just like fully back enjoying. I never even used to do radio. I used to avoid that, you know what I mean? But like now I'm just in a great place.
Yeah,
you know? So,
good.
Yeah, man, we're good. We're here. We're chilling. We're vibes in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
It takes us. It brings us up to the present day. So break down the new show for people that know nothing about it.
Yeah, it's a mockumentary, man. It's a mockumentary in a barbershop. And it's basically a day in the life, basically, in a shop. And obviously, I've just opened up my new shop. And
congrats.
Thank you. And we basically just kind of like, it's an exaggerated version of ourselves, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So everyone just comes through and we just basically take the piss, man.
Incredible. Yeah, yeah. What do you think it is about the barbershop that is basically the black man's forum? It's like everything gets discussed.
It's like a youth club, isn't
honestly,
it?
Like, it's more than that. It's like, if you can imagine like Roman senators back in the day. I'm surprised black men don't go to flipping barbershops in togas.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Bro, like, it's mad. Do you know what it is? I don't know. It's just like, it's just comfortable, isn't it? It's just comfortable. It's like the time where, you know, if people got wives and that, they ain't got, you know, wives ain't there for a hot minute. And it's just like,
you can time really to just chat some
just
shit.
Proper, yeah, because like, bruv, sometimes we're there and a guy will just come back like pissed off, like, yeah, man, my wife's annoying me, and then everyone's just having a discussion about the situation.
Yeah.
I just think it's like, I don't know, it's like therapy over there, isn't it?
That's what I was gonna say, therapy. You know. I think every black barber is a therapist that never knew that they should have been a therapist.
Yeah.
You pay for the haircut, but the therapy's free.
Yeah,
it's free still.
Honestly,
I hate it when they talk too much though.
Ah, 100%.
And it's an hour and man's hasn't even.
No, the barber's there to listen. The barber's there to listen. Like, that's what I think.
Yeah, but you know what? As well, sometimes. Well, my problem is obviously my barber. I've known him from time like we grew up with each other.
Of course.
And stuff,
have you ever betrayed him? Be honest.
Yeah, I had to. Okay. I had to. Sometimes he's not there. I need a trim. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you have to.
Have you ever betrayed him while he was in the shop, though, because you couldn't wait for him, so you jumped in the next man's chair?
Nah, do you know what? My barber, he's got him, his brother. They're all good.
Right.
So if he can't do it, then the others can.
Oh,
it's all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
right, but cool. This is the betrayal, though. This is how the betrayal is acceptable.
Lay it down.
Basically, when I know that my barber can't do it, I get a shape up. From the next month.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Yeah,
just a shape up.
Right.
That's it. You see a trim?
That's cheating. Trim's cheating. Yeah, it's true.
Trim's cheating. I don't really. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because, bruv, yeah, when it comes to my haircut, I'm serious about it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
I'm real serious.
Believe in your blood clot barber, like Big Tob said. But that's just he just put the sentiment into words, didn't he?
Yeah,
everyone was always thinking.
Everyone knew.
Yeah, this is true.
But can I ask you one thing though?
Yeah.
How do you feel like coming up in the game, being one of the like what originators, I would say, in terms of like comedy from the UK, like where it was at a point where a lot of the things you had to do were like organic, the sketches man were doing were very like relatable, that it wasn't mad budget kind of things, and then now you know what I'm trying to say, but now comedians are actually doing this thing, people are getting into presenting, people are getting mad deals, people got M followers, like how does that make you feel, being one of the people that like really set it off?
You know what? It makes me feel happy because, like I said, it was one of them ones where it was like, at the time, everyone was laughing when I first started. It's like, yo, bro, comedy. That's
for good
adulting.
And bad reasons.
Yeah, but because, bro, you got to remember, when I started, it was the time when it was like happy slaps.
Yeah.
It was like real bad
it
man.
Was tense. It was a war zone. You can make man laugh without hurting anyone. Yeah, you were truly talented.
But it was good because you played on that.
Yeah. So
you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, so like, I looked at it where, see me, I'm very confident within myself. Yeah. So I was always like, you know what, I want to do something different. I want to come in and show people you could be yourselves. And even when I used to see artists, bruv, like there was nothing where you could actually see their real personalities.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to come through and just be like, bruv, let's just show people that everyone has a sense of humor and et cetera, et cetera. And I think when I come through, it was just mad. And now seeing it where it is now, bruv, it's sick.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I just feel like... I don't know, man. God just put me in a position where it was like I needed to do that. I needed to kind of go through everything that I went through for all this to happen.
Mm.
And I feel like, you know, we're getting all the blessings now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because have you been writing for some like have you been doing some writing for like, you know, platforms like BBC Three and haven't you?
I write all my stuff.
Yeah, because that's incredible that, you know, as Zoo was saying, you know, there's these new comedians, this new stable of comedians that are getting so much more money pumped into their careers than, you know, originators like you and a Squeezy would have got. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you can kind of, you know, more than a decade later, still be able to thrive in this current pool is testament to your talent. Obviously, so no wonder you're confident.
Yeah, man, because you got to remember this, yeah? Like, see Instagram and stuff like that. This is why a lot of people always ask me, like, oh, how do you feel about the Insta comedians and all of that just coming in, killing it and whatever? And I'm like, bro, I was one of them. Like, I was, when I came through, there was just stand-ups.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So they were feeling the type of way.
Yeah,
they
you were in. You were doing,
So I'm looking at it and I'm like, bruv, this is sick. Like, do your thing. Yeah. Everyone has a position.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So if Instagram works for them, that's great. See me, I'm just a different type of guy.
Of course.
I'm a real entertainer. So that means I don't, like... If that works for you, that's good. Mm. But for me, I just always want to give people shows. I want to stick to my format.
Yeah.
And I'm always going to stick at it. I'm never going to kind of look at it and be like, rah, that's the new thing. I'm running with it. It's you know what I mean? Just, I understand my position and that's it.
Fair play, man. Fair play. Well, we should get into a game before we carry on with this chat. We'll talk some more about like the new stuff. But we should definitely get a game.
I know you want to. I can see this. Okay.
You can tell by the way I'm talking and just talking for talking's sake. We should definitely play a game.
Okay. So as we have you, Jazzy, in the studio, I don't know if you're all aware, but jazz is also a popular genre of music. Oh. Just to let you know.
Oh my God!
You already know.
Revelations every week.
Just so you know that a genre actually that evolved from jazz is swing.
Whoa!
Okay. More knowledge. I'm imparting this knowledge today. So what I have is some swing covers of popular songs.
Okay.
Just tell me what that. In fact, write it down.
Write it down.
Okay, so I'm going to do seven, and then I'm going to do a tiebreaker.
Play the songs. Let us. We have to write down what.
I'll give you a point
song.
For. And this is original. Who was the original artist and original name of the song? If you get the year as well, it's another point for you.
Oh,
so you know.
Amazing.
How many are there?
It's all there. There's seven and a tiebreaker. I'm going to do. Okay.
Wait, hold on. But I'm dealing with like two musicians, though, isn't it?
I'm saying they've got real backgrounds out here.
Zoo is very much younger than us.
Exactly, right?
How old are you?
I'm 23.
Oh, you are, yeah.
Why does everyone, is that always the reaction? Oh, you,
Jazzy's like, I'm back in the game.
We're back.
Okay,
we're
see, all right. That's not the show, man. That's not the show before.
However, so let's start with swing number one.
Well, we've come too far.
That's easy.
That is an easy one. Incredibly easy, that one.
Super easy, man.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Not like that? Okay. Who? Everyone got something for that?
Yeah,
like
I just
artist,
don't remember the,
song title.
Thing. Yeah. Hey, don't look at my thing, Jazz. Yeah? I've caught me before. I like to cheat.
Okay, you all got something for number one, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to swing number two.
But I don't know how.
What? We need more than that.
No, that's what you got.
But I don't know.
I don't know.
You will know this one. Do you want a clue?
Yeah, let's have some clues.
This song would definitely be played at any Britpop night.
But I don't know.
I know that. I stop playing it, because he's going to get it. Yeah, oh, yo, Michael. Yo, look at me. You like that?
Oh, God, I'm going to get that.
Very refreshing drink as well. So, let's move on to number three. Swing number three.
Even my mama thinks that my mind is gone.
Whoa. What? What was that?
It started so good. Okay. The first one was so like, yeah, I'm going to kill
and
this.
And you were like, that's so easy, but that's how we fool you.
Play that again,
Even my mama thinks that my mind is gone.
Okay, cool, yeah.
No, wait, it's because he screamed. I need to hear it one more time.
Okay, right.
Even my mama thinks that my mind is gone.
You got something,
Jazzy,
you got it?
No, I don't.
Do you
want to kick yourself?
Yeah.
This would be, say, let's say Al Capone in heaven.
That's good. It's good.
See, when he knows the answers, he's laughing at the what's it called? The help.
Yeah, he's laughing at the clue.
Ah, he helped him with that.
Okay. I've got that Bruce Almighty confidence right now.
Ah, go on.
It's good.
Number four.
What? you lot are definitely pranking me, bro. I ain't getting nothing.
Do you want a clue?
Go on.
I want five clues.
You get one clue. A synchronized swimmer could do this, but not in the shallow end.
Jeez.
I know what it is, man.
Think about the opposite to shallow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I know you all know it. It just needs to go on for another 3 seconds.
Yeah, you know them ones.
It does.
I don't know. Oh, man.
Okay, ready for number five?
Oh, my God, I'm so hurt. Go on.
What?
Yeah, this is so
instrumentals. We're getting into instrumentals now, not even vocals.
The instrumental section.
Was that fine, yeah?
Play that one more time.
He's about to spit some bars right now.
I was. It's that end part. One more time for me, please.
Oh my God, I know that.
Oh,
very famous music video. Inspired by the film called An American Werewolf in London. Like, iconic music video. Red leather in it.
Oh!
You just changed the whole thing.
Of course.
And I knew it was that.
Yeah, see?
And I knew it was that.
I don't even know.
Ready for number six?
This reminds me of my GCSEs.
Okay. Where am I? Oh, it's a long one. Weirdly, on here I've got the clue is longer than the reveal, so that's interesting. Okay, well, we'll see what's happening here. I mean,
that sounds like a game show.
It does.
Like a little ITV.
There was Saturday classics, in it? Yeah.
Okay, Zula, you're doing a Saturday night game show. Here's your theme tune.
Tonight!
And welcome to Stars in Our Shoes, where we give you the greatest shoes that have come out. Supreme! I don't know what I was saying there.
This is apparently a very famous song for its use in a film called Shrek.
Oh!
But it was first used in a film called Mystery Men. I don't know what to say. It's a part of your body, is the second word of the artist. It's part of your face. And then if I can't give you any more clues, because I don't really know much about these people, to be honest. But I was confidently told earlier everyone would know it. So.
Artists that have...
If I was face, to... Also, there's some instant mashed potato called this.
Okay.
Wait, no, man. He keeps his crops on the bar. His bread, right? His bread punchlines, man. He's
going to be all the clues. I don't know the name of the song, but I definitely know the name of the band.
He's just going to get the clues. Face.
You would say, Converse. Maybe a pair of Converse would be cool, these. There's not one of them. They're all. Oh, I've just said one of the words from the songs. Whoops.
There's all.
Oh yeah, okay. Oh,
right. I said it.
Oh, yes, I'm an idiot. Of course I know that fucking title.
What? Oh, I'm just lost in that whole sauce. Can I get a little bit of...
Listen.
No, you don't.
I get it.
But you've got a theme tune for your
this
game
show. This is the first time I feel like I've been this quiet before.
All right, let's go.
All right, here we go. Finally, number one. So I don't think we're going to need the tiebreaker, but here we go with number seven.
I need to start listening to more swing.
For real.
Well, baby.
Ooh.
Video for this is set on Mars. She, female singer, did this. It wasn't that she did it for the first time.
She did it how many times?
She didn't just do it once. She did it.
Oh, yeah. I think I know it.
We might as well quit.
You know what? Yeah, man.
I
ain't got nothing.
I'm gonna
on one of them, I put Miss Dynamite, brother, and I know she wasn't even on there.
She wasn't, you know. I'm sorry, I don't want to reveal it too soon. What did she do? She was a slave for you.
Yeah, she was, yeah. And her debut album recently turned.
Play the thing
20
again.
20 years old.
Play the thing again. Go on.
To be fair, yeah, the clue helped a lot more than the music.
I know, so.
Play it one more time.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to
help you with the singer, so...
I know who the singer is.
Hit her baby one more time.
Yes, I know, I got that.
Oh, you got it? Okay. I don't know, I want him to get
I got that. I got the singer.
I got that one.
I just ain't got the song.
She did it more than once. Oh, she did it more than once. Oh, I don't want to say the word because it's so close.
Matron.
To say the word. Ooh.
All right, let's get into this. Let's let Michael win. Come on.
Do you know what? okay, let's start with number one then.
You have to answer last every time.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's fine. Right, number one. What did you get, Jazzy?
Number one, I got nothing.
Okay. What did you get, Zoo?
I got Get Lucky.
Bye.
Pharrell and is it Daft Punk?
Uh-huh. And what did you get, Michael Payne?
Same. We're up all night for good fun. We're up all night to get some. We're up all night to the sun. We're up all night to get lucky. They are so out of tune.
Lucky.
Some of these are the best covers.
That's how I'm
going
to talk to people now. You want to have fun? You want to get lucky?
That sounds quite sinister.
Just be passive aggressive in everything you do. Good afternoon. How are you doing? Don't ever open your teeth when you talk as well. That's the best way.
Hey, Valentine's Day is coming up. I love you. I love you.
You're my number one, baby.
Yeah.
Should we make love?
It's getting nuts in there.
Number two, Zoo, what did you get for number two?
I got my favourite song, Don't Know.
Who's that by? An even artist?
I don't know who.
Okay, that's nice. What did you get, Jess?
I got nothing.
By who's that by?
By nothing.
Okay, cool.
I also got nothing.
Oh, okay. After all. Yeah, Wonderwall. Okay, what about number three then, Jazzy?
I ain't going to lie, I think that's the bit where I got Miss Dynamite.
Okay, and what did you get, Sue?
By my favourite artist, Don't Know.
Okay, what did you get?
It was Coolio featuring LV, Gangsta's it's Paradise. It's standing for still life, living in the gangsta's paradise.
What did you get?
saying, we only got like.
What was the beginning part that you played us?
What, on the clue?
Yeah.
Even my mama thinks now my mind is gone.
See, I ain't ever crossed a man that did deserve it. Yeah, he be treated like a punk. Yeah. You know it's unheard of. You better watch where you're walking.
Yeah,
don't rub it in.
So
stop
he's
it.
One.
No, not okay, but number Ben Zoo, you know, what did you get for four? Tell me.
Yeah, everybody coming out. And
my favourite artist again will be his fourth hit. I don't know.
Jazzy?
Yeah, same.
Okay,
same.
What did you get?
I got nothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we
had it all.
Number five, Jazzy? Nothing.
Is it dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun
dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun
dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun
dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun.
The only reason I know this is because I was mad scared when this video came out. I've actually been shook of Michael Jackson up until I was about 16 years old. Yeah,
please.
It's very scary. It's 1982.
Mm-hmm. Four, sorry, it's incorrect.
Year of my birth.
Okay, number six. We got to move on. Number six. What is
what
it?
What do you mean?
Number six, please. Any,
close.
Anyone? Nah, anyone?
Nothing.
Zoo.
I got Taylor. That's the
okay,
whole
what
thing
did you
I
get? What did you get?
Smash Mouth with All Star.
Hey now, All Star.
So you said people were covers. I said Chuck Taylor.
And then finally, number seven, anybody? Zoo, I think you got something. I think you
is
must have
Britney
got the
Spears,
artist. Sure.
Is it Toxic?
Uh-huh. What did you get, Joe? I imagine you got Britney as well.
Yeah.
A song?
I got Britney. I got Toxic.
Okay, what did you get?
Said that with his chest. I got Toxic.
What did you get, Michael
Payne? Oops, I Did It Again by Britney Spears.
Bro, that's a reborn mix. Well, oops, I did it again. And that's not how it goes.
Okay, well, that is it.
Big tune.
Like, what was that,
it is
man?
A big tune. Well, sadly, that is the end of the game and the end of the show.
Oh,
we're done, man. But I can tell you, well done, Jazzy. One, that's good. With one point. I didn't win, you've got one. Zoo, you got
that's
five.
That's hard to do, to be fair. So,
you got five and you got 11. So.
Oh, wow. Fair play.
Well done.
All right.
Well done.
Well done to everyone, man. And listen, thank you so much for coming through, Jazzy.
Yes, love, man.
Let people know where they can follow you on the socials so they can find out more about everything you're up to.
Yeah, man, hit me up. I'm on Instagram, at Jazzy Movement. Twitter, I don't use it no more because it's annoying. But yeah. That's it, man. And make sure you lock into Jazzy's Barbers. Mm-hmm. Next episode comes out this Sunday at 8 o'clock on Zed by Uni Days. Yeah.
Brilliant. Big shout out to Big Zoo.
Yes.
All the love.
Well done,
jumping in, saving the day. Special guest co-host. So, obviously, big love to Natalie, my regular co-host. Shout out to Marcel back next week. Shout out to Kaleem Taylor for coming through. Big up Callum McSwiggan stepping in next. And with that, I'll leave you with this, and I'll be back next week.
Yes, sir.
All my life, I've been searching for truth. When all this time, it was all in me.
First breath made my mother breathless. Took her breath away before she heard a sentence. Big boots to fill, but they weren't hard to step in. Had to fill the void because my father's stepping down. We crept around it. Brandy had him in the deep end. He never drowned him. Family round every weekend. We need some space. You ever felt out of place in your place? See if these four walls could talk, they'll write a book called I'm Caving In. I can't breathe, I need to pace a bit. That's why we're always staring at Goliaths, hoping David wins. Fed up of swimming through the fire, trying to save my skin. Moral of the story is to triumph when you play to win. Standing on the shoulders of the giants, trying to chase the wind. Iron eyes looking like a lion, you can't tame a king.
Don't hold your breath now. That's the sound of my last breath. Cardiac arrest is what my heart said. Can't get back in bed when I start rich. I'm ready. Not unknown alarm gets on a level. I've arm wrestled with the devil and won. I can't settle for the medals they brung. I've always been the rebellious one. There's no mask in it. There's no mask with me. I bear face, bear up front. I've been instrumental in bear come ups. Send me the instrumental. I dare someone. My life's been eventful, but I've suffered. Hear me pray in the temple with my brothers. I know you see me, God. They say you ain't there. I know you really are. You are the one who gave us CPR. You are the one who made it easier. I breathe deep so it really lasts.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.